From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Hey guys, it's Ben Dieter filling in for Todd Starnes. Todd Starnes, of course, if you heard me on the morning show, is actually my employer. So the boss has handed over the keys to yours truly, and we've taken over the Todd Starnes show. Todd is in D.C. He flew out, I believe, earlier this week. He will be back in Memphis, where we broadcast the flagship station right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Tomorrow, I know there's an exciting program announcement that I expect Todd to make coming up on the program. He's actually going to join us at 1 o'clock, your time, Central Time, 12 o'clock. So excited to have Todd calling in from D.C. So there's a big radio shindig where all of these personalities in media, radio, they get together, they share all of these exciting ideas, how they're moving forward radio into the future, how they're making it super cool. I saw some shots of Todd, and here's the dirty little secret. Todd never quits working. I have now been employed by Todd for, what, Dylan, 2-3 years? It's been a second. So
2021.
Yeah, 2021. The guy does not stop. And you guys know that. I mean, he puts on a great show. He's traveling all around the country, doing speaking tours, signing your guys' books. I believe he's working on a couple more books. I mean, the guy doesn't stop. Now, the problem of that is, I feel like he's burning at both ends. He's going to get upset that I said, no, he's fine, everybody. But Todd needs to go on a big old vacation. And I was thinking about this driving into work this morning. Todd's in D.C. I'm hoping he's kicking back, enjoying hanging out with some of his friends in radio, in the industry. But Todd needs a break. So while we're on air together, and I know maybe Todd will catch parts of the show, he'll phone in later, I want to hear from you guys. Todd is going on vacation. We're making that a memo coming out of the Todd Starnes show. All together, America, we're going to send Todd on vacation. Where do we send him? Now, Dylan is getting married. You guys know that. We went to Gatlinburg. That was a great place. I could see Todd enjoying that. Todd, does it seem like maybe the biggest beach guy? But I would say send him down to Destin, maybe South Florida, West Palm Beach area. I would love to hear from the listeners of the Todd Starnes Show. Where do we send Todd on vacation? Where do you guys like going on vacation? The studio line is 901-260-5926. Number again is 901-260-5926. And we'll work something out. I don't know. I mean, he's handing over the keys to the station now. We'll be fine. We'll make it happen. Todd just needs a good old break. All right. So there's so much happening in the world of 2024 presidential politics. And we're going to be covering our bases. We're going to be checking in with Regan Reese. She is with the Daily Caller. She's the White House correspondent for them, talking about the media's obsession, not with Kamala Harris not attending the ceremony at Arlington, but Trump actually going to the cemetery and honoring those family members and the lives that were lost as a result of Biden's not just disastrous withdrawal. Keep in mind, Kamala Harris said that she was in the room. She was there and she was confident in the decision that they made that ultimately led to the deaths of those 13 service members. But no, the media is not upset about that at all. They're upset because President Trump showed up. Now, I have a theory about this. They really aren't upset with President Trump. The media, Kamala Harris, the administration at large, they're upset with those Gold Star families. They're upset and they just don't have the cojones to say that they're pretty peed off with these families. Keep in mind, they spoke at the RNC. They've come out and endorsed President Trump, said that had President Trump have been in office, they would still have their children. So the media is doubling down on this story. And to be honest, you guys, I don't even know what this story is all about. What, President Trump was invited by the family to show up at Arlington, and he did. They asked to take some photos. Was President Trump just supposed to say, no, we're not doing that? So there were some photos taken, and the media, it's disgusting. The New York Times with this headline, I mean, the goal with these people. Trump campaign uses statements from Gold Star families to attack Kamala Harris. No, Kamala Harris showed up on Sunday with a scathing statement towards President Trump saying that he is politicizing what happened in Afghanistan. The audacity with these people. So Reagan is going to be joining the show coming up in about 20 minutes to discuss that. Also, we've got Tommy Pigott. He's the RNC Strategic Communications Director. What does President Trump, what do Republicans need to do moving into a pivotal week, which is really right until the debate, which is about less than a week from now? What do Republicans need to be doing to make sure that voters in this country understand what is at stake? Now, there was some interesting polling. Newsmax had this story showing that most registered Democrats and independents do not even know Kamala Harris's positions, where she stands on the issues. Also, looking at some other polls conducted, this by the Media Research Center, revealed that most Biden Democrats and independents have no idea what she said about some of these critically important issues as we head into November 5th. Couple things here. Means we're not messaging right. Also means that the media, the legacy media, MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, I could go on, they're playing cover for Kamala Harris, but did we expect them not to? Defund the police. How about this issue? 71% of Democrats and Biden supporting independents did not know that Kamala Harris was in favor of defunding the police during the George Floyd riots of 2020. That's a problem. And I don't know whose job it is at the RNC or in Trump world to make sure that those Democrats, those moderates, those Biden supporting and leaning independents don't know that she was in favor of defunding the police, also supported a bail fund for the thugs that burnt down the streets in some of these cities. They need to know about that. Around 75% of Democrats are unaware or unsure of Harris's position on the Green New Deal. So look at her as the border czar. They do not know that she was tasked, according to this polling by Media Research Center, 72% of Democrats and Biden supporting independent voters were unsure or not aware that she was tapped as President Biden's border czar. When it comes to border law enforcement, ICE, again, shows that these voters in this country, they have effectively memory hold much of what Kamala Harris has been and what she's continued to run in and run on until she was tapped to be the nominee. And then we saw in that CNN interview with Dana Bash, well, she was never in favor of banning fracking. I mean, what are you talking about? We can do both. We can walk and chew gum. And if we had an honest press corps, they would roll the tape, which is why you guys listen to the Todd Starnes Show and you guys are informed. You guys do understand the policies and these positions. Here's the deal. When it comes to messaging this election, my fear is, and there was some polling done over the weekend by ABC and Ipsos, and again, I understand not everybody likes the polls, and there are polls that favor Democrats, and I think that there is polling organizations out there that release these polls to suppress momentum within Republicans. So I always put a little asterisk. Take with a grain of salt. That being said, what we saw with the DNC is the Democrats' plan on winning in November is to run on personality. Kamala Harris, Coach Walz. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous, but it's brilliant because you have a lot of unintelligent voters. I hate to say it. It's not a kind thing to say. People are dumb and people like to feel good. And they are really leaning into that never going back, hope and changey stuff. And if you look at the latest polling by ABC, well, Jonathan Carl, who, let's face it, he's a hack, had those numbers. Take a listen.
If you look in our new poll, you see that Donald Trump has a significant advantage on some of the most important issues for voters. You see immigration and the economy consistently ranking at the top. He has a lead. Harris has eliminated the Republican advantage, at least in our poll, in crime and safety. And of course, Harris has a big advantage on the issue of abortion. But look at personal attributes. On this, a different story. Harris has a significant advantage over Trump on who people think is physically healthy enough to be president, is honest and trustworthy, understands problems of people like me, and is the mental sharpness to be president. So that tells the story of this essentially statistically tied race.
Couple things. They think that she has more mental sharpness than former President Donald Trump. Coming from the woman who, you guys, if you look at the transcripts of most of her speeches, even the CNN sit down, there's not a lot happening between her ears. You guys know, because Todd has done a great job playing the word salad and all of the montages where she's saying she's been burdened, what maybe unburdened by what has been. Actually, we have some audio and we'll play this coming up in just a second where she was on the campaign trail over the weekend into Monday talking to union workers, and she pulled out her famous line once again. So we'll play that coming up. But guys, the problem here is this is a race on personality, and Democrats are going to try to put lipstick on the pig, that's metaphorical, until November 5th. It is our job to remind people of the policy positions of the Republican Party and of President Trump. And I don't know that we've done the best job at that. Do we still have time? I think so. But keep in mind, to that ABC poll on the economy, Trump wins that easily. On inflation and bringing down, reducing inflation, that favors the Republicans. On crime, I know they said neck and neck, that is favoring former President Donald Trump. That is what we have to beat, and beat that drum every day until November 5th. I don't want to talk about Kamala Harris's race. Yes, I get she's a flip-flopper. I get we all know this at this point. But when we talk about Kamala Harris and the accent, that's just par for the pattern with this woman. Look at the positions. She's all over the place. What Republicans need to do is, yes, call out the 180 on every one of her positions, whether it be the economy, whether it be crime, the southern border. At the same time, we must remind voters what we stand for. And that's paramount. Vivek Ramaswamy was on Fox yesterday and had some advice for President Trump as all of these team members are getting their candidates together. Kamala Harris is already going into debate camp. And his advice for President Trump as he takes the debate stage against Kamala Harris next week. We'll break down that on the other side. Again, our number is 901-260-5926. Studio line 901-260-5926. You're listening to the Todd Starn Show.
You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. And the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506.
Dream. dreams. We can see what is possible unburdened by what has been. We have aspirations. We have ambitions. And the system that is a good system is one that supports that and allows people the opportunity to go where they can see and imagine themselves to be.
What the actual heck does she mean? And what is she saying? Again, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Ben Dieter filling in for Todd. She is reusing her favorite phrase, which I would have expected her campaign aides to say, Kamala, we love you, but you can never say unburdened by what has been ever, ever again. And if you continue using that, we're going to have to keep you away from the press. And we're going to have to keep you away from reporters. We're going to also have to keep you away from press conferences. Oh, wait, we haven't had access to Kamala Harris since she's been replaced at the top of the ticket. How many interviews has she done as opposed to President Trump, J.D. Vance? To date, the ticket on the Republican side, 39 interviews. Kamala Harris, you're right, one interview, and that's what we saw on Thursday night. And it was, what, 16 minutes long? We got nothing out of it. So anyhow, they're sending Kamala to the basement or to Camp David, wherever they sent President Biden when they were getting him ready for the debate, that fatal debate when his political career and really himself, he died in front of President Trump and the entire country. So the Daily Mail and also Axios has a couple different reports where Harris has gone to debate camp. It's going down in Pennsylvania. Insiders revealing to the Daily Mail, the VP preparation is already going sideways. So according to this piece, sources close to the Harris campaign said that Harris is a little bit rusty on the debate stage. And so they're worried that if she starts trailing because she won't have a teleprompter or her governor, her support, emotional support animal, Governor Tim Walz, she could spiral out of control. And that's where you get the word salad and the uncontrollable laugh. So a former Harris communications director told the Daily Mail that their strategy is to work Kamala up so much. So the goal is to get her hot and bothered. This is actually a quote. Somebody's got to be a blank hole here. Somebody's got to sit there and really pepper Kamala and get her annoyed and aggravated, because that's what probably Trump is going to do. And that's what you want her to do, is work out that aggravation in prep so she's not going to do that in front of the American people. Now, NBC had a report, which I thought was pretty interesting, because they're trying the same strategy that could really throw her off the rails, which is trying to get under Trump's skin. So a source told Axios that the Harris team is preparing to talk about a variety of topics and things that will rattle the former president. That source said that strategy includes Kamala bringing up issues like Trump's failing to get Mexico to pay for the border wall, his response to COVID-19, his failure to come up with an alternative healthcare plan after he tried to repeal Obamacare. Looking down through this piece, Harris is also expected, according to this piece, to hammer President Trump on the critical role he played in pushing Republicans to back out of the quote-unquote bipartisan border bill. That was in favor of amnesty. Of course, President Trump encouraged Republicans to kill that bill. I mean, it literally legalized illegal behavior. We have more coming up with Regan Reese with the Daily Caller. Ben Dieter filling in for Todd. You're listening to the Todd Stern Show. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRite, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRite is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
Some disturbing news out of Winder, Georgia, where there appears to be an active shooting at Appalachie High School. Getting this news over the break. So let me read down through this, catch you up to what we know, which isn't a lot, but here's what's going down. Multiple casualties have been reported. It again is at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia. I was doing some research on the community. It's about an hour outside of Atlanta. Population, about 18,000 people, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. What they're saying, one suspect is in custody after authorities received a report of an active shooting at the school. According to the statement provided by the law enforcement there, they said casualties have been reported. However, details of the number of their conditions is not available at this time. Now, CNN had a couple reporters on the ground there. They're reporting about five ambulances, had a large active law enforcement presence there. Also, at least one medical helicopter could be seen airlifting a patient from this scene. A lot of people gathering on the football field near the school as students, as what we could tell, appeared to pray. Of course, the entire nation is praying for these students and faculty down in Georgia. So any new information, you guys will be the first to find out. And we'll be following that throughout the rest of the Todd Starnes Show. Do you want to go right now to our Patriot Mobile newsmaker line, Regan Reese, White House correspondent with the Daily Caller. Regan, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I want to start with this controversy with Trump showing up at the request of the families of the 13 service members killed in the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. Now, start with the controversy, because I would suspect that the controversy is that Kamala Harris was also invited and she was a no-show, but this is a Trump negative look on the team and the campaign. What's going on?
Yeah, so President Trump was at Arlington Cemetery with the Gold Star families, the families of the fallen service members, the 13 that were killed during the Afghanistan withdrawal in 2021. He, you know, laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and then visited some of those graves at Section 60 in Arlington Cemetery. From here, it was reported by NPR that there was a altercation between a campaign official and Arlington Cemetery staff, because Section 60 is, there's photography is typically not allowed. But the Gold Star families previously told the Daily Caller that they had requested that President Trump come. They had invited him and that they were okay with photography, which, you know, ultimately that is what matters. Mm-hmm. You know, as for President Biden, Vice President Harris, I don't believe that either of them were invited. But they did put out a statement the morning of the anniversary of their deaths. And then President Biden laid on the beach in Delaware and Vice President Harris was just conducting internal meetings. That was all that was on her daily guidance. Did nothing public to honor these families. And then we've seen that the Gold Star families have come out with these videos. So Vice President Harris tweeted, decided to weigh into this controversy. Why? I don't completely understand why they made that decision, and slammed President Trump for honoring these Gold Star families and his trip to Arlington Cemetery. And that's completely backlashed on them, backfired. The Arlington or the 13 Gold Star families have released videos asking Kamala Harris why she's never called them, why she's never reached out, when at the same time she's bragged about being the last person in the Situation Room with President Biden when he made that decision to pull out of Afghanistan, which, you know, ultimately killed their sons and daughters. And so it's this whole mess. And you're right in saying that President Trump is being slammed, you know, when it seems like it should be the reverse.
You know, a couple things. And again, we're talking to Regan Reese, White House correspondent for The Daily Caller. I want to start with Kamala Harris's tweet over the weekend. I believe this was on Sunday, the audacity. She said that visiting multiple times as the vice president, Arlington National Cemetery, she goes on to say, quote, "It's not a place for politics." And yet, as was reported this week, Donald Trump's team chose to film a video there as though he was not invited by the family members. You bring up the family now defending President Trump's trip to Arlington. We've got a little bit of this audio. It's pretty provocative. Cut 22.
Kamala, your statement is nothing more than a political spin to help you look better.
Vice President Harris, why will you not express your condolences yourself? Why have we never heard from you?
President Trump has been there for us. He's been a rock for us.
These are the only memories we get to make with our son, and it is you who is playing politics and trying to detract from our memories made that day.
Regan, do you think it's because they know that these 13 service members and their families, let's face it, doesn't make their administration look good, doesn't help her campaign at all? So they see this moment, a report comes out that they had this altercation with a staffer at Arlington, and they decided to play offense as opposed to defense in what happened with the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand, honestly, why Vice President Harris chose to weigh into this. Besides, I think this was a political miscalculation in the campaign. It's one of those situations where you would think that you kind of would just stay silent while the media does its job and attacks your opponent. At least that's probably how it's viewed from the left side of things. I do want to draw attention to some reporting that came out of the Daily Caller from my colleague Henry Rogers. Speaker Mike Johnson had to intervene to get former President Donald Trump into Arlington Cemetery. Arlington Cemetery was giving the Gold Star families some issues and kind of saying that former President Trump couldn't show up to that ceremony. And it took the Congressman Issa and Speaker Mike Johnson to, you know, go to Arlington Cemetery and say, hey, what the heck? This is a former president. We need to get him into Arlington Cemetery, let alone these are 13 Gold Star families. We should be doing everything we can to get them in to, you know, request their wishes to make this ceremony as special as possible. And so, this was a story that I felt it went ignored by the mainstream media. Hardly saw any of those big players like Politico, New York Times, Washington Post pay attention to the fact that the Arlington staff was giving such an issue to the Trump team and the Gold Star families ahead of the ceremony that the Speaker of the House had to intervene. And to me, that's a bigger scandal than any altercation that may have happened over taking a couple of photos. And again, it's not like we saw some giant ad come out of Trump's visit to Arlington Cemetery. You know, it was a quick film. I've seen a lot of commentary that people found it to be respectful, and it wasn't, in your face, Trump for president.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And also, there's other people that have filmed some things in Arlington. I know there was a photo that resurfaced from May 25th, 2020. It was a campaign ad, Memorial Day campaign ad, the President Joe Biden shared on his official X account, which featured the president standing over a tombstone. And what they're saying, well, he was acting as the president. Or the vice president, or it wasn't his personal capacity. But in this case, the family said, we invited President Trump as a person, not as a candidate. He's just been very kind to our family. And again, he is a former president. To get that attention to those that you love and those that you lost, I think is pretty significant. But the media, I think, is what is just so appalling. For example, NBC had to walk it back over the weekend because Kristen Walker decided, as the host of Meet the Press, that she had to play devil's advocate for Kamala Harris, and it got her into some hot water. Cut 15.
Bottom line, though, I guess, Senator, is it ever appropriate to make campaign content at military gravesites?
Who didn't take campaign photos there? These families, Gold Star families, whose children died because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's incompetence, invited him to the cemetery, and they asked him to take those photos. They wanted President Trump there. They wanted to take those photos. You know who the families also invited? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Where were they? Joe Biden was sitting at a beach. Kamala Harris was sitting at her mansion in Washington, D.C. She was 4 miles away, 10 minutes. She could have gone to the cemetery and honored the sacrifice of those young men and women. But she hasn't. She never has spoken to them or taken a meeting with them.
Well, it's meet with them during the dignified transfer. Were with them at the dignified transfer.
Her and Joe Biden's incompetence, those 13 Americans were killed in Afghanistan.
This is why people, Reagan, don't trust the media. Because even NBC then had to clean that up with a statement saying Biden was in attendance, but Harris was not. And we incorrectly implied that both were there.
That same dignified transfer that President Biden was seen checking his watch twice. Right. Right. You know, and also that NBC statement is pretty weak. She straight up says the vice president and the president met with the families at the dignified transfer, and then their correction says we seem to imply that there was some interaction. No, your host straight up admitted it. She didn't imply anything. I found the correction to be kind of weak and a joke. I've just been trying to wrap my head around, you know, why are we seeing this reaction? Why isn't the Gold Star families the nation's first priority, whether you're the president, whether you're left-leaning media? You know, why isn't that something that people are taking seriously, that they want to, you know, honor and respect? I think it's really disrespectful to the families, regardless, to be just caught up in this crossfire, especially when they're struggling with mourning the loss of their family members. Mm-hmm. The personal side of me, the American side of me, kind of finds this whole back and forth sickening, no matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Yeah. All right. One last thing before we let you go. You have a really interesting piece on Republicans really putting J.D. Vance to work as they enter home stretch. Of course, we are, what, 93 days away? I could be wrong on the math there, but not long. Tell us, what is the strategy? Are they just blitzing J.D. Vance in that Rust Belt area, Pennsylvania, getting those blue-collar workers?
Yeah, what's important to note about J.D. Vance is that he got off to a bit of a rough start. This is noted in my piece. Strategist kind of pointed out that he had to go through kind of a warming-up period. He faced all those that weird messaging. He was answering more questions about sarcastic comments he made 3 years ago than what he and President Trump were going to do in the White House if elected in, you know, just a couple weeks. And now what we've seen him, you know, go into these hostile media situations. I know he has a couple more of those interviews lined up. He's gone on CNN. He's gone on NBC News. And he's taken it head on. And in Republicans' opinions, he has really nailed those interviews. He's really kind of done what I think Republicans really love to feast on, is, their candidate really taking it to the mainstream media and putting it back in their face. And so we're going to see a lot more of that. We're going to see him kind of have these viral moments, and Republicans have been so pleased. And President Trump, I believe, has said it himself, how he has been pleased with how his selection in J.D. Vance for his running mate has started to really play out and benefit him on the campaign trail, especially, you know, in contrast to Governor Tim Walz, who keeps getting all these lies and scandals and flip-flops. You know, they're really feeling like Vance is rising to the occasion.
Interesting. All right, good work. Keep up the great work. It's fascinating. I love every one of your pieces. Guys, got to check them out. Daily Caller, just look up Reagan Reese's name. You'll find all of her work. Thanks for dropping by the show.
Thanks so much.
All right, going to leave it there. All right, before we scoot to the break, did just want to give you the very latest from what is coming out of Wilder, Georgia. Reports still coming in about this mass shooting at Apalachee High School. Bureau County Sheriff's Office saying right now, quote, at the time of this release, one suspect is in custody. Casualties have been reported. However, details on the number of their conditions is not available at this time. Team's been looking into it. Could see a medical helicopter, multiple ambulances, also huge law enforcement presence. They were dispatched around 10:23 Eastern time this morning. The school was put on a hard lockdown. Multiple agencies showed up, including the FBI, all sent to the scene. Students, again, according to reports, are now free to leave the school, connecting with their parents. So we'll be following this as we head to the second hour of the Todd Starnes Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has directed all available state resources to assist at the scene. Of course, this is the news coming out of Georgia, Winder, Georgia, which is about a mile or about looking at the actual, it's an hour outside of Atlanta. Barrow, County School System is where this went down, at the Apalachee High School there in this town. Not a big town at all, about, is looking, 18,000 people. So the governor has issued a statement saying that all Georgians are to pray alongside of his family for the safety of those in the classrooms, and really across the state, just calling on all of Georgians to pray about this situation. So we're following this. We'll continue to have updates. Again, casualties have been reported. However, the details on the number of their conditions, and how many people were actually shot is not available at this time. Getting updates by law enforcement down in Georgia, and still at this time in the national show, just not getting any updates on the actual number. So as soon as we find that out, we will let you know. Hey, coming up, we've got a couple great guests, and we thought since it is his show, we'd allow him to call into his own show. So Todd Starnes is going to be dropping by this show coming up right after the top of the hour. So Todd started a big old thread on social media, Facebook and on X. If you follow him there, you'll see there was a glass of sweet tea. Of course, you know, Todd loves his Baptist martini. It was $8. I don't know if that's just a Washington Beltway thing or if that's Bidenomics or Kamala-nomics working. We'll break that story down with our good friend Todd Starnes on the other side of the break. Don't go away.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hour number two of the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in for my boss, Todd Starnes, who joins us in just 1 second. But first, let me give you the latest coming out of Georgia, where there was a school shooting at a high school there in Winder, Georgia. At least two people have been killed in that shooting. Took place at the Appalachian High School there in Winder. That's about an hour outside of Atlanta. That breaking news update coming in just at the top of this hour. We said any more updates, we will keep you posted and give you the very latest. As far as the suspect, they got one suspect who is in custody. And with that, we'll move on and provide updates throughout the remainder of the Todd Starnes Show. Joining us now is the namesake of the national show, Todd, who joins us from the Beltway. Todd, welcome to your show, my friend.
Ben, thanks for letting, I'm just glad Lydia let me through the call screening process. So it's great to be with you today.
All right, so we've got some audio. We're not going to play it in this segment. We'll play it coming up, where actually Barrett Media, who you're hanging out with radio people, personalities, they tagged you and the station, and it's audio of you explaining why you bought KWAM, the flagship station of the Todd Starnes Show, and then also gave those in the audience a masterclass on how to stay relevant in radio. What's the secret? I'm learning from you.
It was a lot of fun. This was a big radio summit. And the issue is, you know, how do you grow radio? How do you keep radio from dying? And I know there are a lot of naysayers out there, but the reality is that radio is so vitally important to the nation and to the country. And it's also one of those rare mediums where, you know, you get to break down that wall between the person in front of the microphone and the audience, so people can call in and they can talk to you or they can talk to me on the radio. And I think that really is something very unique that you don't get in TV or podcasting, even on the social media platforms. And so I was very honored to be a part of this esteemed panel and, you know, shared my thoughts and, you know, shared what has worked for us at at KWAM there in Memphis and what's worked on our national radio show.
What's it like hanging out with radio personalities? Are they as cool in person as they are and how they sound across the, or is it a group of introverts?
No, it's really not, and it's a fun group. I was a little nervous. Amazing. Because I always like to go to those events. Mm-hmm. To get knowledge. You know, I want to learn something, but I had all these people coming up and asking me questions, and I thought, this is not going to be good. But it really was, it's a lot of fun. Clay Travis kicked things off earlier this morning and just had a good conversation. And again, I think, you know, just from the response we had on a lot of questions, I didn't even get back into other sessions because there were people outside, you know, asking about KWAM and how we do things and, you know, how we've grown. And I really do credit it to our great staff, and you are a part of that staff. And making sure, you know, when we talk about being relevant, that we just don't hire a bunch of old geezers like me, but that we hire also a lot of Gen Zers, which I think we've done very well at.
Your executive producer, Grace Baker, is Gen Z. I am Gen Z. I just turned 26. Dylan over there, the great producer of the Todd Starnes Show, also 25 years old, right? So you are putting your money where your mouth is. And I think a little known secret that you guys in, I'm sure, the Beltway are talking about, Todd, is this effort by the radical left to buy up all of these radio stations because of the threat which you just laid out. It is one of the only last remaining mediums where people can get the truth and they can get it uncensored.
Well, it is. And I really think that if we're going to salvage this country, it's going to be as a result of the efforts of talk radio. I think that is the medium that terrifies people on the left, because it really gives conservatives a place where they can go and talk about issues that the mainstream media simply will not talk about. So, you know, I think we're very fortunate in the Memphis area, especially, and so many of the stations that carry this program are actually the locally owned radio stations. And that's an important thing, because those local owners get to make the decisions, not George Soros.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah. I mean, so many of your great affiliates are owned locally. They're local businesses. All right, Todd, can we talk about your T-gate? Because you posted a photo on your Facebook, your X, your followers can go find it there. You posted a photo of iced tea, which looked like a regular glass of iced tea. I want you to tell the listeners of the great Starnes Nation how much you had to pay for this glass.
I am so enraged. I am still enraged over this. So I was very thirsty. It's a little warm up here, so I thought, I'll have some iced tea. And I know we're north of the Mason-Dixon line, so I wasn't going to get good sweet tea. And that's okay. I'm ecumenical when it comes to my tea. But then they brought the tea, and it was in one of those skinny little glasses. And it was $8, Ben Dieter. $8. There was more ice than tea.
Was it spiked? Did they spike it?
There was no booze in the tea. There was no sugar in the tea. There was no flavoring. It was basically dirty water. Just dirty water.
Was it at least decent? Was it mediocre?
So look, here's the deal. Right now, for just under $3, I can go to Kroger and I can purchase an entire gallon of Milo sweet tea, which is delicious and refreshing. A gallon, Ben Dieter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
All that to say, I booked the next flight back to Memphis. I'll be there tonight.
All right, we'll pick you up. All right, let's talk about some more serious news, because you made a lot of news with this, calling out John McCain's son, who went after President Trump and his visit to Arlington National Cemetery. Another big news hook coming out of this is the papers already wrote up the headlines. John McCain's son is endorsing Kamala Harris. Take a listen. Here he is, quick shot in 12.
Arlington Cemetery is sacred to all people who have, all people who are members of the military, all people who have served in the uniform. It's a sacred area. There's three generations of McCains that are buried there. It's a violation because these rules are set in place. The people who are buried there don't have an opinion. As much as I stayed as an independent, I decided that, you know, it was time to move on and do what I believe in. You know, the fact of the matter that he said it constantly is country first.
That is Jimmy McCain's outrage at former President Donald Trump. What's the real story, Todd?
Well, the real story is that little Jimmy is a hypocrite. His daddy, the late Senator John McCain, actually filmed a campaign commercial in Arlington National Cemetery. This was back in 1999. And it was so scandalous at the time that they had to take down the campaign ad and actually revise it, because the campaign did not receive permission from the Army to actually film in the cemetery. So you say, okay, well, why is this a big deal? It's a big deal because Donald Trump was actually invited by the Gold Star families. The Gold Star families were the ones who wanted video and photographs of that moment. This was not a campaign event. It was not a campaign commercial. So when you look at what John McCain did, it was even more egregious. And so the issue I have with little Jimmy is, does he feel the same way about his father's desecration of that holy sacred ground?
Or was it just politics and he wanted an out to vote for Kamala Harris?
Well, of course it is. The whole family's leftist,
right.
And they're far left Democrats is what they are. But look, it's not just him. It was Barack Obama. He did the same thing. So did Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. So they're all accusing Trump of doing something he did not do, when in fact they're the ones guilty of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right. By the way, who's playing the piano? Is someone on stage playing the piano? I hear some nice tickling of the ivories back there.
Right. I'm at the hotel. I'm at this fancy little hotel in Georgetown having some lunch.
Oh, wow. All right, so what is the mood with conservative radio people? Are you all kind of on the same page about how we're feeling 63 days out from November 5th? Of course, you all play such a pivotal role in getting former President Donald Trump across the finish line. Are people excited? Are you bedwetting with all of these radio industry people?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's just a lot of unknown right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there have been a lot of unforced errors on both sides, I think, you know, as far as the campaign goes. But I'm pretty hopeful, Ben. I get out enough that I think I've got a pretty good feel for the pulse of the country. And I think people are just disgusted with the prices. I think they're, as a matter of fact, I was talking to my taxi cab driver about the $8 iced tea, the security guards at Newsmax and the hairstylist at Newsmax, and they were all equally outraged. And I say that to say this, if it's bothering me, you know, it's bothering a lot of other people. And I think we all see it. And I think at the end of the day, the only thing that matters in this election is how much we pay for groceries at Kroger. That's it.
Yep. Yep. And that's incumbent on Republicans. Yes, we can talk about all of the weird stuff happening with Harris Walls, but it's got to be more than just attacks. It's got to be our policy. It can't be about personality. I mean, maybe a little bit, because I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but it's got to remain on policy issues. Todd, appreciate you checking in. I'll let you get back to it. You will be doing your Newsmax show later today, live from D.C., correct?
Yeah, so we'll be live tonight at D.C. just with the conference and everything. I had to take a couple of days off from the national show. Of course, tomorrow, Congressman Tim Burchett will be filling it. That's going to be a hoot.
Daggum. Daggum. Yeah, I know. He's allowed to say that, right? I'm assuming.
Yes, you're allowed to say that. Yes, you are. But anyway, the show sounded great from D.C., Ben. Keeping up the great work.
All right. We'll pick you up in your motorcade when you get back, you man of the person, you Todd. All right, guys. We'll leave Todd there in D.C. In the meantime, I want you to go to ToddStarnes.com. ToddStarnes.com. You're going to get the very latest on the developments coming out of Winder, Georgia. We do have a little bit of an update. At least four people were injured, along with the two that were shot and killed, according to law enforcement out of Georgia. But in the meantime, check out all of that information, ToddStarnes.com, for the very latest. We'll be right back.
Why should I vote for Donald Trump?
I cannot provide content that promotes a specific political party or a specific candidate.
Alexa, why should I vote for Kamala Harris?
While there are many reasons to vote for Kamala Harris, the most significant may be that she is a strong candidate with a proven track record of accomplishment. As the first female vice president, Harris has already broken down a major gender barrier, and her career in politics has been characterized by a commitment to progressive ideals and a focus on helping disenfranchised communities.
Give me a break. Amazon, Alexa. Amazon's Alexa has gone woke. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in for Todd. So call in if you have a Alexa device. Our number is 901-260-5926. Now, the assignment, this is like Simon Says, Ben Says to the Todd Starnes Show listeners out there across the country that has one of these little Alexa devices in your home. You are to ask the device, the little robot, if you should vote for President Donald Trump. And if it is consistent with what we're hearing from this audio that we played coming back from break, which was obtained by Libs of TikTok, it will say, no, 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 Ben, I'm not weighing in on political matters. Now, if you ask that same device, Alexa, who is woke, and if Alexa was a human, I would imagine her to look like, well, let's just say magenta, purple hair, half of her head is shaved. You know the types. Go to a local Starbucks, look up into the eyes of your barista. That is what, if Alexa was human, I imagine her to look like a woke Starbucks barista. but I'm probably generalizing. So you ask that same device, should I vote for Kamala Harris? And it comes out with that. I mean, what, Dylan? Is everything tipping the scales for Democrats? Because if I had one of these devices, I would take a baseball bat to it and I would destroy it. A sledgehammer.
It's like pretty consistent along with the other AIs too, you know, like the ChatGPTs and so on and so forth. The Google one is just as bad too. So they're all lefties.
Is there anything that favors Republicans?
Grok.
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 Can you explain what Grok is?
Grok is the AI that you get when you have Twitter Premium, of which I paid for, which also got me a blue check mark.
Dylan is verified, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so you got a blue check mark. You had to pay what, $11?
$11 a month, actually.
Wow.
So.
Oh, wow.
But it comes with other benefits.
But it comes with Grok. And Grok is Elon Musk's version of artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Now, Dylan, myself, we have Snapchat. I do, anyhow. So your grandkid or your kid out there, if they have Snapchat on their phone, they have installed without your child's consent or your grandchild's consent a little chat bot. Now, the chat bot has a face. It's an avatar. Mm-hmm. And you can ask questions to it. You can even, heck, you can send pictures to your chat bot. Mine has yellow skin and orange hair.
Mine has green skin.
Really?
Yeah.
So, again, we're just trying to explain something to you all. Because I don't think Todd has Snapchat. Does Todd have Snapchat?
Surely not.
Huh. Does Todd send selfies? So, we're just making a point. Your kids, your grandkids are going to be probably on this app sending selfies. They had no option in installing this chatbot who, in your grandkid's case, could have a blue face and purple hair. If you ask your chatbot, what do you make of President Trump? It will say, I do not weigh in on divisive figures, genuinely. Now, if you ask it about Kamala Harris, it does the opposite. Same with Joe Biden. All of these big tech operations, Silicon Valley, they are 100% tipping the scale in favor of Republicans. And I am here to tell you, I am absolutely sick of it. So much so that if I had one of these Amazon devices, I would destroy it. Much like we're getting a report that one of the listeners sent in this audio and video. We've got this. So there is a Trump supporter out there making a lot of news because she took her Alexa device and did the following. Take a listen.
Appearance, and I'm not a big Amazon person myself, but I'm going to film a little video for you telling you how I really feel. Stay tuned. Take two. Amazon's Alexa dot bye-bye election interference. I felt so strongly, I had to get a big sledgehammer. Let's see if I get it. Oh. F*** you, Amazon.
So I didn't see the video. I just heard the audio. It appears, Dylan, and you actually saw this. She took a sledgehammer to the Amazon.
She hit that thing as hard as she could. Destroyed it.
I mean, what else are you to do? If Alexa is now interfering with the 2024 presidential election, she must be destroyed.
That's probably the most humane way for Alexa to go out.
Yeah.
Just straight to the head.
I'd throw her off the bridge over the Mississippi River where I live in Memphis, Tennessee. That's what I would do. Todd Starnes Show, do you guys have one of these Alexa devices? Because it's woke. Let us know. Studio line 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. More on the other side. RNC Communications Director joins the program up next. Don't go away. All right, so looking into the inside team where Kamala Harris is preparing to debate Donald Trump, so they have sent her away, though we will see her a couple times while she prepares this out of the Keystone State, Pennsylvania, which I mean, a lot of people are saying the path to 270 is right through the Keystone State. So she's going to be making a couple appearances while she keeps her head down preparing for a week. Now, we were talking about this earlier in the program, and NBC had an interesting piece where they want to avoid the Tulsi Gabbard moment. Do you guys remember when Tulsi Gabbard called out Kamala Harris back in 2020 on her record as this woman who went after... Well, actually, Dylan, we have this audio where Tulsi Gabbard was actually on CNN talking about their debate prep. Take a listen to this. This is interesting. Cut 13.
And it is a remarkable situation in that you are Democrat who debated her in a Democratic primary, and now you are helping the Republican nominee to debate her. And on that, I remember in 2020, you attacked Harris for being too aggressive as a prosecutor, which is the opposite from what Donald Trump is saying about her as weak on crime. So which is it?
What I pointed out in that debate stage in the 2020 campaign was her hypocrisy. It was how she was saying one thing and doing another, how she was prosecuting people for smoking marijuana and laughing about it when she was asked about it on a radio show. And I think this goes to the heart of many of these different issues that we're seeing now that Kamala Harris is trying to hide from voters, is how she says her position is one thing, but her actions and her record show exactly the opposite. And you can point to that on issues related to the economy, issues related to freedom of speech. She says she stands for freedom of speech. And yet, as we've seen time and time again, her and Joe Biden have taken actions both directly and indirectly to censor free speech.
So that's really interesting because, of course, you guys know Gabbard endorsed Trump and is working to prep him for this big debate. Let's welcome onto the program Tommy Pigott, RNC Strategic Communications Director. Tommy, welcome to the Todd Starn Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So according to NBC, to prevent the this attack by Gabbard, what they said in this insider meeting, that she was definitely rattled and unprepared for that attack by Miss Gabbard, and then went on to say to ensure that this mistake doesn't happen again by former President Donald Trump when they get on the debate stage together. Now, we've been asking our listeners all day long, what does Trump need to do when he goes in front of Kamala Harris and really across the entire country? As someone working the comm side for the RNC, what is the message that he needs to deliver on to shore up a win in November?
Well, I think it's a two-part message. First, it's the positive message that he has the policies that are needed to solve so many of these crises, whether it's the border crisis, whether it's inflation, whether it's the weakness in war we see on the world stage. President Trump has had the policies before, and he'll deliver on those policies again to make sure that we have peace through strength, have a secure border, have an economy where working men and women of this country can get a leg up. And it's about making sure that he expresses those positions like he has been. And then I think conversely, it's about highlighting, like Tulsi Gabbard was just saying in that clip, the difference between Kamala Harris's rhetoric and her actions. She's trying to quote unquote moderate herself, but she's not even the one doing it. She's sending anonymous staffers out there to try to erase her record from the internet, act like she hasn't been in office for the last 3.5 years as vice president. Kamala Harris has a failed, weak, and dangerously liberal record on almost every single issue, has the most extreme positions on almost every issue that you can think of. And President Trump has been calling her out on that throughout this campaign.
That's super interesting. There was a story out by CBS. More Americans are having to choose between food and energy bills. Okay, so when Americans have to decide whether they're going to be cold or hot, versus whether they are going to have a stomach that is half full or half empty, there should be a referendum. We should win on that alone. And I think you're right. President Trump, when he sticks to the economy and drills home what it was like under his administration, it's going to be tough for Kamala to combat that on a debate stage.
Even from that CNN interview where she had a softball interview, was not really pressed on her issues. She had no economic vision at all. It's astonishing to me. But the one thing that she's putting forward, her argument right now, is first that Bidenomics is working. She's literally still saying that because Bidenomics equals Kamalanomics in this point, that Bidenomics is working. And then secondly, she's admitting that costs are too high because of Bidenomics, while at the same time wanting Soviet-style price controls. So essentially, her economic pitch to Americans are price hikes and bread lines. That's what Kamala Harris's plan is. And we know that from the reality of living under Kamalaonomics for the last 3.5 years and the reality of what price controls and these Soviet style plans that she wants to adopt. We know the reality of those from all the other countries where they've been adopted. So she has no economic vision that she can sell to the American people. That's why we see her lying about position after position that she's held. And ultimately, she has the record of the last 3.5 years in the White House where American families are poorer because of the policies that she has implemented.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have policies, you just lie. Which leads me to this thought that I want to get your reaction to. So let's play, Dylan, cut number one. This is Governor Tim Walz over the weekend.
Somebody said, what's next, child labor? Hell yeah, it's in there. That's what they've got in there. You see states doing that, putting our children at risk. That's what they'll do.
I mean, he's claiming that Donald Trump wants to bring back child labor. I mean, how do you even run against, as someone working for the RNC and comms, when your opponent is just shamelessly lying? Like, that's just a nonsensical thing to say.
Absolutely ludicrous. I mean, they from someone who has been lying about every single part of their life, too. I mean, Tim Walz is just one lie after another. I don't think he said an honest thing since he was named this VP nominee, let alone even before that, the decades of lying that he has. I mean, ultimately, it's just day in and day out calling out their lies. It's making sure we're doing that on every single platform that we can. It's about every single time that they say a lie, we're out there on social media, we're out there on the radio, TV, saying that's not the case. And it's about consistency, not letting them get away with it at any point that they're saying this lie, and calling them out with the facts and the record to back it up. So making sure we don't just say that's a lie, but have the reasons why it's a lie. And ultimately, Kamala Harris's campaign, like you're saying, is entirely based on a lie. She can't run on her own policies, which is why she has yet to have a single policy page on her website. We actually made one for her at Team Trump at Kamala2024policies.com. But she has yet to have a single policy page on her website. And at the same time, she's lying about President Trump's policies. And President Trump does have his policies on his website. You can go to DonaldJTrump.com/platform to see those policies. So we're calling them out every single time that we can. We're not letting them get away with it. And we're going to back up all of the arguments we're making with the receipts, both about their liberal policies and our policies that lead to successful outcomes.
And President Trump and J.D. Vance are out there actually talking to the American people, which I try to explain on the morning show that I do, flagship station for the Todd Starn Show here in Memphis. That is because they respect us. They respect even people they disagree with. Memphis is a majority minority city, overwhelmingly votes blue. But at least President Trump and J.D. Vance have the respect for Americans. If you look at the actual numbers since August 6th, J.D. Vance, President Trump conducted 34 interviews as opposed to Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, uno, one. I mean, what are they doing?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, you're exactly right to say it shows they don't have respect for the American people. But this is par for the course from Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris didn't think she needed to win a single vote to be named her party's nominee. And now she seems to be under the impression that she doesn't need to answer any questions to win the election for president, that she doesn't actually have to interview for the job to get the job. That's Kamala Harris's disdain for the American people. I don't think the American people are going to let her get away with it. And we've seen from that CNN interview why she doesn't want to do questions, because that interview was a disaster for Kamala Harris. She was unable to answer basic questions or really explain why she's lying about all of her positions. I think it's such a clear contrast. And you exactly mentioned that President Trump is doing these interviews not just with friendly voices, not just with people that agree with him, though of course he's talking to them, but he's also talking to people that disagree with him. He's going to the Bronx. He's going to Detroit. He's going to Atlanta. He's going to deep blue areas, and he's speaking to voters that haven't heard from any politician for a very long time. And President Trump is saying, I have an agenda that works for you. And one of the great things about President Trump and his campaign is that he has the exact same agenda no matter what room he goes into, no matter what state he's in, no matter who he's talking to, because he's consistent. He's not pandering. He's not making things up. He is delivering a clear vision to help all Americans. And that's such a contrast to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, who seem to change their positions based off of what room they're in. Every single day they come up with a new flip-flop, and flip-flop's even the wrong word for it. Really, it's lie. So that contrast between President Trump's vision to make America great again, Kamala Harris lying to the American people, it's going to be a contrast that I think is going to have President Trump winning this election.
Yeah, I so agree with you. Again, we're joined by Tommy Pigott, RNC Strategic Communications Director. Your message to Americans listening to the Todd Starn Show. So I would say in Tennessee, we would be deemed a safe state, right? Like, there are so many key battleground states. Tennessee isn't one of them. Now, Tommy, my family all live in Pennsylvania, and they live right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm almost envious because their vote matters so much in the route and the road to 270. Of course, North Carolina, early voting, I believe, begins on Friday. Pennsylvania next week. How important is it for those that live in states like mine, now Tennessee, to get on the phone with everybody in those key battleground states to get out the poll? Because as I've said multiple times, and I know you echo this from the RNC, this race will be won within the margins.
It's incredibly important. I mean, just think about the ways that we talk to people about these issues, the way that we convince people. It's friend to friend. It's family member to family member. So it's incredibly important that you talk to people, explain to people why you think they should vote for President Trump, reach out and make sure that they have their plan to vote. Go to swampthevoteusa.com. There are details for every single state to make sure that people have the resources they need to make their plan to vote, make sure they're registered to vote. And then making sure your friends and family are also registered to vote, have their plan to vote, is incredibly important. And also encouraging them to vote as early as possible. We have an unprecedented election integrity operation at the RNC. Part of that effort is to make sure that Republicans are voting early so we can free up those resources, not chasing those ballots. If someone votes early, we could spend that money going after that other voter that hasn't voted yet, as opposed to chasing down that person that waits to vote until election day. So it's incredibly important that people make their plan to vote, that they reach out to their friends and family to make sure that they have their plan to vote, and then encourage them to vote early if they're able to, going to swampthevoteusa.com and make sure they have all the details they need.
All right, good stuff. Well said. Tommy Pigott, RNC Strategic Communications Director, thank you for the good word, and thanks for stopping by the Todd Starn Show, hanging out.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, good stuff. Going to leave it there. All right, so getting some breaking news from Georgia, where we've been covering this school shooting from Appalachee High School. This is in Winder, about an hour outside of Atlanta. Getting new intel as we were on air with Tommy that the number of casualties is actually not two, it is at four, and those wounded is not four, but 30. Take a listen to law enforcement in Georgia.
Obviously, what you see behind us is an evil thing today. At about 9:30 this morning, we received the first call that there was an active shooter in this on this campus. We're not releasing any information as far as injuries, but we have multiple injuries. This is a very, very fluid investigation. It's very early. And I have asked the assistance of the GBI and the agencies here behind me today, and there are multiple agencies that responded this morning to help us and help the sheriff's office. We do have a suspect in custody, and we are asking for your patience as the media to please let us get the facts that we need to make sure we get this right. Again, I've asked the GBI to help us, the sheriff's office, to help us along with this. I know this is not what you want to hear, but I'm not going to answer questions after this is over with. But I wanted to give you the respect and our community the respect to let them know what was going on initially. We're in the process of reunifying our students with their parents. Obviously, that's chaotic, but we want to be respectful of them and their privacy as well.
Wow, just unbelievably sad. Of course, the governor of Georgia reminding all Georgians and really the nation at this point to pray for students, faculty, teachers at Appalachee High School. But again, the very latest, according to CNN, four people were killed in this shooting, and about 30 more were injured. Although, let me be clear, unclear at this time how many of the injuries were from gunshot wounds. More information on this story, ToddStarnes.com, ToddStarnes.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Ben Dieter filling in for Todd. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Slip in a call from Patty listening to us on WSIC. Patty, great talking to you on air. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, Ben. Oh, God, I love you. You're so great. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something about the debate. I'm going to tell you what Donald Trump should do. call her out on what she has done in 3.5 years, stand back, and let her go.
Just let Kamala kind of do Kamala, which is the word salad. She could even reverse on policy right in front of the American people. Like, in one case, she could be anti the southern border wall. But as you know, recently Politico had a piece, Patty, that she's in favor of building a border wall. So President Trump should let Kamala just do Kamala.
Like what he did with Joe Biden? Mm-hmm. He let him go. Remember when he said, oh, you have 90 seconds, Mr. President, and Joe Biden almost had a heart attack.
and you're not kidding. You're not being metaphorical, Patty. I think you're actually being literal. I mean, we all watch the president.
Let her go, man. Let her speak, because you know what's going to happen? Who's going to hold her hand this time? She's going to be out there by herself. Let her go, because she's going to start cackling because her nervous laugh. That's a nervous laugh. You know that.
Yeah, no, I know. So you think Donald Trump shouldn't go personal? If he does talk, which he will, of course, he's on the debate stage, he sticks to policy. Kamala can do whatever she needs to do.
Yeah, he says to her, you tell me what you did in 3.5 years, he stands back and let her go.
I love that. All right, Patty, we'll write that down. I absolutely agree with you. Patty calling from North Carolina, would love to hear your advice. For Team Trump, of course, the RNC, they were on last segment. I really do think it is critical that we don't just be the party that is Kamala is bad. I know that's breaking it down, Dylan, in extremely basic ABC building blocks, you know, back to elementary school. No, we have to be in favor of something. We've got to be pro-America. There are a lot of people my age, as mid-20s, we don't feel like the American dream that, say, maybe our parents, maybe our aunts and uncles told us about is still out there. And so to have a message, one of hope, one of inspiration, I think is going to catch on with not just Gen Z, but the country at large. We're desperate for something new. And I don't care, you guys, if they slap on the new decal. Did you see that on the Harris-Wallace campaign plan? A new way forward. What are you talking about? You've been in office for 3+ years. We know what your way forward is, and it's directly into the ground. We reject that, and hopefully we do in 63 days. Hour number 3 of the Todd Starnes Show coming up. Don't go away.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, what you see behind us is an evil thing today. At about 9:30 this morning, we received the first call that there was an active shooter in this on this campus. We're not releasing any information as far as injuries, but we have multiple injuries. This is a very, very fluid investigation. It's very early. And I have asked the assistance of the GBI and the agencies here behind me today, and there are multiple agencies that responded this morning to help us and help the sheriff's office. We do have a suspect in custody, and we are asking for your patience as the media to please let us get the facts that we need to make sure we get this right. Again, I've asked the GBI to help us, the sheriff's office, to help us along with this. I know this is not what you want to hear, but I'm not going to answer questions after this is over with. But I wanted to give you the respect and our community respect to let them know what was going on initially. We're in the process of reunifying our students with their parents. Obviously, that's chaotic, but we want to be respectful of them and their privacy as well.
Barrow County Sheriff Judge Smith that audio coming from a news press conference about 30 minutes ago where he announced that authorities are trying to now start the process of reunifying parents and students. This after a shooting where at least four people were killed in a shooting at Appalachie High School. That is in Winder, Georgia. That would be about an hour outside of Atlanta. And one second, you're going to hear from a local reporter that's on the ground giving a report. One second, though, about 30 more injured in this shooting. Unclear at this time how many injuries are from gunshot wounds, according to CNN. And again, welcome to hour number three of the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in. Happy to have all of you guys joining us in what has been a busy day of breaking news. Just Dylan, give me a thumbs up when we have that report. Now, again, it's a fluid situation, as you heard from the sheriff of Barrow County. What Merrick Garland is saying, he's been briefed on the matter, according to CNN, reporting the Justice Department is standing by, ready to provide resources to this school district and the town there. Here's his actual quote. Quote, I want to address the tragic shooting that occurred this morning at a high school in Georgia. We're still gathering information, but the FBI and the ATF are on the scene working with state, local, and federal partners. Also, the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, issued a statement saying that he is calling on all Georgians to pray for the student, faculty, and the folks in this small town. I was looking at the U.S. Census Bureau for this town, about 18,000 people. So we're talking a small community. Take a listen. A local TV reporter, this is by the NBC affiliate down in Georgia, WSB TV, reporter on the ground. Take a listen.
Yeah, we found out that those three department heads, GBI, DPS, and GEMA, they are all physically on the scene now. This is Colonel Bill Hitchens. Chris, he's with the Georgia State Patrol. Chris Stallings, who is the GEMA director, and GBI director, Chris Hosey. They are all now on the scene helping to coordinate the efforts there at Appalachie High School. Also got a text from the Georgia Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities. They are very concerned about moving forward from this tragedy, some of the emotional trauma and emotional distress that people have. They wanted to remind people in that community that if they are experiencing this emotional trauma, emotional stress, there is a hotline available for them. Simply dial 988, and they have trained professionals on staff, on the phone, who can help talk out or direct them to where they may or may not need to go. So the state of Georgia concentrating on what is happening now, but also trying to concentrate on the days and weeks ahead. Brad?
Richard, if you can go back over that again, mention that hotline again and where what it is exactly, because this is a traumatic situation for a lot of people to have to go through. One more time, please.
Yeah, it's emotionally scarring. Even if your child or your loved one was not involved in what happened, they are still somewhat involved. It happened to their school. It happened to their community. There is emotional trauma. There's emotional scarring. So the Department of Behavior, Health, and Developmental Disabilities has a hotline already set up to handle any emergencies like this. You simply dial 988. That's all, 988, and they have trained professionals on the other end. They can help you deal with it. They can help direct you to where you need to go and help you deal with all that's happened.
And Richard, I know this is very early information, but do we have a sense of where they might set up sort of a temporary headquarters or command center to deal with all the coordinating that needs to happen? Is it at the school? Is it at a sheriff's department? Do we know at this point?
I don't know at this point. I know a lot of times they like to let the local law enforcement agencies, usually the county sheriff's office, handle.
And again, that is WSB out of Atlanta. Reporters on the ground, of course. Now, this national news story, the national press is descending where this shooting broke out in Winder, Georgia. And we'll give you the very latest. WSB also reporting that the suspect has been neutralized, though no information on that suspect. And I can imagine it will take a second before authorities give that information to the press. More information on this, ToddStarnes.com. ToddStarnes.com will be following this I'm seeing different videos, very emotional. You have, and really for WDUN, Dylan, I know we have so many WDUN listeners. Of course, a big partnership with the Todd Starn Show, an affiliate of this. So any of the WDUN listeners out there, if you have any additional reporting on this, we would love to hear from you. Get reports from your state of Georgia. Our number is 901-260-5926. Studio line for the Todd Starn Show. Again, 901-260-5926. As we followed this breaking news out of Georgia, testimonies, different community members are now starting to speak. Just incredibly tragic. My fear is, as I've already started looking at some of the commentary online, it has become political. And you can imagine that Democrats will seize on this, though it's not the time. And it's disgusting what they will do with tragedies like this to turn them into campaign issues. We know what this looks like. Look at Parkland. Look at how they weaponized these shootings against their political enemies. Not time for that, though it's already started online. But again, we're going to keep it right on the information as we know it coming into the Todd Starnes newsroom. All information can be found at toddstarnes.com. ToddStarnes.com. Now, I wanted to play a little bit of audio from a Trump supporter. Now, this is not your typical Trump supporter. This guy just so happens to have the last name as Governor Grandpa Pants. Or Governor, I have Midwestern value, Tim Walz. Yes, we're talking about Jeff Walz. So there's a photo circulating that has gone viral of the Jeff Walz family. And there's probably eight people in this photograph. They're wearing these blue shirts that bear the words Walz/Trump. All right. So unlikely that you would have a Walz/Trump ticket, but it looks like Jeff Walz, who would probably know his brother better than the rest of the country, though they haven't spoken. This is a bizarre story in 8 years. As a matter of fact, News Nation got an exclusive with the brother of Tim Walz. His name is Jeff. Says he's not going to be talking about this anymore. As much as I would love to book him on the Todd Starn Show and get an exclusive, Jeff says he's done. Because this all started with Laura Loomer, of all people, the investigative journalist. She was scrolling around Facebook and she saw a post by Jeff Walz and said, basically, I disavow my brother's values and he would be a threat to this country. It blew up. Every reporter in the nation tried to get this exclusive. News Nation did. My biggest takeaway from this interview is the fact that Jeff, the brother of Tim, found out that his brother had been picked to be VP pick for Kamala Harris on the radio. So I don't blame the brother for going sour on the Democrats. According to News Nation, he did vote for President Trump, donated to President Trump, and it looks like he's not alone, as a family photo has emerged showing the Tim Walz family. Actually, they're no fans of the governor of Minnesota. They're a fan of former President Donald Trump, and they also want to make America great again, which we welcome them into our family. Not theirs. Take a listen. This is Jeff Walz speaking to News Nation.
It wasn't my intent. It wasn't our intent as a family to put something out there to influence the general public.
Jeff, who is a registered Republican and donated $20 to Trump's 2016 campaign, stands by his comments that he disagrees with his brother.
I will say I don't agree with his policies.
But he says his posts were intended to rebuke rhetoric that he was ideologically in lockstep with the vice presidential nominee.
It was a post that I made because I was getting a lot of feedback from my friends, old acquaintances, thinking that I was feeling the same way that my brother did on the issues. And I was trying to clarify that just to friends. I used Facebook, which wasn't the right platform to do that for.
Jeff Walz says he hasn't spoken to his brother in 8 years.
There was just no contact either way. And it's too bad, I guess, that it worked out that way because he is my brother yet and everything. And I guess, you know, you can disagree and still still the civil brothers.
And he was surprised to find out about the nomination on the radio.
I will stand behind this 100%, was that we felt bad that we found out about his being picked as a vice presidential candidate from the radio on the way back from a trip a few weeks ago when it was announced. And we felt like we probably should have been given a heads up and some type of security, at least for a short time, because I guess that is a big thing.
We're on the radio. You guys are listening to the radio. Now think for one moment, if you are driving down the road listening to the Todd Stern Show and you find out that your brother or sister is now running to be the vice president of the United States of America. Number two, if you don't want people to be talking about something, don't put it on Facebook. So I used to get my dad in a ton of trouble because my dad is a pastor. My mom is a pastor's wife. And though they are conservatives and they would talk about cultural issues, very pro-life, my dad had no issue talking about that from the pulpit of his church in Pennsylvania. What he didn't love is that his 16-year-old was basically the de facto campaign manager for Donald Trump back in 2015. And I had social media. And I would light it up. And if there would be a parishioner from my dad's church that was pro at the time Hillary Clinton, yours truly would go crazy on social media, on his keyboard, and attack them. So my parents were constantly trying to clean up what I was putting on Facebook. I learned a lesson. If, Jeff Waltz, you don't want the country to know that you're no friend of Tim Walz, who could be the next vice president of the United States, don't post it on Facebook, okay? Just roll of thumbs. Keep your dirty laundry in your family. Do you guys know those people that will post their family's dirty laundry on social media? Not a good look. But what is a worse look is the fact that you've got the family of Governor Tim Walz, this guy that we've been told is America's sweetheart. Don't you want to go grab a beer with him? But he wears a flannel. And that makes him relatable. The family apparently doesn't like him. Now, what I would love is the media, the same media that turned RFK Jr.'s family on RFK after he broke away from the Democrats. They platformed a cousin. They platformed a great niece. They platformed an adopted uncle on the airwaves to disavow RFK Jr. They won't platform the governor of Tim Walz. And I'll ask you why that is. Our number is 901-260-5926. Number again, 901-260-5926. You're listening to the Todd Stern Show. We'll be right back. The White House has been briefed. Also, Vice President Kamala Harris briefed on this school shooting in Georgia. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We've got WDUN reporter Caleb Hutchins on the phone line. Caleb, welcome to the morning show. This is obviously devastating for the entire state of Georgia. First of all, what can you tell us? I know there's numbers in flux on those that have been injured, actual casualties. What is the latest that you can give us?
So the latest that we've got, and we just got it literally just within the last 10 minutes from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, is that four people are confirmed to be dead. Nine more have been confirmed to be injured, being treated at hospitals. We also have confirmation now from the GBI that the shooter in this case is alive and in custody. There was some initial reporting by several agencies that the shooter, or I say agencies, I think it was mainly a lot of social media talk, that the shooter had been taken out. That is not the case. The GBI has debunked those and said that he is alive, or he or she is alive and in custody at this time. And that is the latest that we have. But as you said, just an absolute tragedy here in Northeast Georgia today. And there's obviously a lot still to be sorted through on this. We don't know a lot about how the shooting played out. We don't know a lot about the shooter at all, particularly their motives. We're still obviously trying to find that out. But again, the latest we have is that four people are dead and nine more injured, with the shooter alive and in custody at this time.
Caleb Hutchins, WDUN reporter out of Georgia. Can you tell our audience about Winder, Georgia? It's not a big town, so you can imagine that this is sending shockwaves through the community and beyond.
No doubt. And, you know, you say Winder's not a big town, and it's really not in the grand scheme of things, but Appalachie High School is in the southern part of Barrow County, really, even though it's got a Winder address, really closer to the town of Bethlehem, which is a very small town. So we're talking about a school that has been growing a lot in recent years, but historically this is a very small community there in southern Barrow County around Appalachie High School. Somewhat of a newer school. It's only been around for about 20 or so years, but no doubt this is the most tragic occurrence that we have seen in that area that I can remember in my lifetime. I'm 30 years old, and this is definitely, we've never seen anything like this in that part of Barrow County, and it's just an absolute tragedy, and we're obviously going to continue to monitor this, but thoughts and prayers are pouring in from around the neighboring communities, and I imagine that will continue to happen over the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure. Caleb, I know you probably don't have too much access to this information, as law enforcement pretty tight-lipped with these types of investigations. Any word on the casualties and those injured? Were they students, faculty, staff?
We do not know at this time. The only thing we have gotten is just numbers from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Again, 4 dead, 9 injured, but no, we do not know. We've heard some rumors on social media about, was it a teacher? Was it, you know, whatever? Yeah. But we have not gotten any actual official confirmation on that from law enforcement.
All right. Well, thank you for jumping on quickly. We'll be following your reporting. Great job. And just a devastating story. Caleb Hutchins, reporter WDON. We'll have more on the other side. In the meantime, go to ToddStarnes.com. And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Glad to have you guys joining us as we wrap up the show. Just an unbelievably devastating story out of Georgia, Winder, Georgia, to be specific. According to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, what they're saying, and that was cleared up by the last reporter from WDUN, shout out, great work that the affiliate of Todd Starnes, WDUN, the great team there, they're doing right now. But is that number is actually 9 injured, as opposed to there was a report that there were 30 people injured. Also, there was a false report that the shooter had been neutralized. But this is coming out from, again, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. They're saying that they took in the shooter into custody and that report that the suspect had been neutralized was inaccurate. So suspect is alive, but has been detained. Now, our team has been working closely, getting different testimonials of students on the ground. Of course, the national media on the ground. You also have President Joe Biden. He's been briefed on the matter. Also, Kamala Harris. She's expected to address the shooting where she is in New Hampshire. That will be aired at 1:50 Central Time, 2:50 Eastern Time. So we might be able to dip into that in 1 second. Take a listen to this report on the ground.
Yeah, we're standing where a lot of students and parents are leaving the campus after getting picked up by their parents. I have a student here, a 17-year-old student, who mentioned he could hear the gunshots when they were happening. Just kind of walk me through where you were and what happened.
So I was in the, I was coming from the vending machine in the lunchroom, and I went into the library to get a book, and I walked out of the library, and someone walked in. And the next thing I know, I just hear a gunshot, but, like, I don't know if it was them or not, because I ran back to the class that I was in.
Yeah, well, how many shots did you hear?
Like, 3.
Wow. How far away do you think you were from where it happened?
At least, like, 100 feet, at least.
What was going through your mind when it all happened?
We'll continue to follow our live.
That coming from local television on the ground in Georgia. We'll keep you updated as we wrap up the Todd Starnes Show. Do you want to go to our Patriot Mobile newsmaker line? We're joined by Colonel David Giamana, who joins the program. Welcome, Colonel, to the Todd Starnes Show. We appreciate you working with us on what has been a busy morning and a busy afternoon. First of all, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to our conversation today.
Colonel David Giamana on the program. I did want to move this story forward. And of course, this comes after on the weekend, we found out that our Americans that were being held hostage. One of them by Hamas had been murdered, had been assassinated. Yet this administration is calling on Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, to do more. According to Axios, they said that the prime minister of Israel isn't doing enough to get a Gaza hostage and a ceasefire deal. Now, Netanyahu is pushing back on that and saying the only thing that has changed in this negotiation is that the terrorists killed our hostages. What do you make of it?
Well, Netanyahu is exactly right. And I know everybody wants to bring their loved ones home. I get it. I understand it. If I had a loved one, I want that to happen. But Netanyahu is exactly right. They cannot end this until Hamas is completely neutralized and obliterated, because it's just going to keep happening over and over. And I know there's protests throughout Israel and throughout the world right now, but what do these people want? Do they want to go back to the way it was, or they want to get rid of Hamas? Sometimes you just got to pay the price, and it's difficult. It's terrible. I understand it. But this is war, and this is what happens in war.
So there is a theory that had the IDF been allowed to finish the job, seek out these terrorists and destroy them, what we saw with these six hostages could have been preventable. But they were told by their closest allies, which is America, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, we've got the audio, don't you dare go into Rafah, because if you do, well, we might sanction the aid that we give you. Take a listen.
They go into Rafah. I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah.
That any major military operation in Rafah would be a huge mistake. Let me tell you something. I have studied the maps. There's nowhere for those folks to go. And we're looking at about 1.5 million people in Rafah who are there because they were told to go there, most of them.
Colonel, as I understand the reporting, and that's why we brought you on as the expert, which you are, are a lot of those hostages in those areas that the administration said don't go into?
Right, and Hamas knows exactly what they're doing. Look, at the end of the day, as I said before, if you want to obliterate Hamas, you're going to have to go in there and take them out. And Netanyahu has been listening to the U.S. The U.S. has a lot of leverage. But the fact is, Biden, Kamala Harris, and the administration do not know what they're doing, have no understanding of warfare, and no understanding of what's really going on over there. Because if Hamas does come back, we're going to be back to October the 7th again. And all the Middle East countries around them know this. I don't want to be a hardliner, but sometimes when it comes to war, you got to go in there and do the job and finish it so we can go on to other things and negotiate a true lasting peace. Because here's the bottom line. There is no negotiations with Hamas. I don't know if people understand that. Their motto and their whole dogma is to kill the Jews and get Israel off the map. And that's what Israel understands, and that's what they're trying to finish this job.
You're exactly right. And it's not just murdering these hostages. They released videos of these six, and just unbelievably gruesome. I mean, it's not even monsters aren't real. Animals aren't that cruel. I mean, I don't even know what you call these group of radical terrorists. And yet you have some people, especially in America's classrooms, Columbia to be specific, who are siding with those people and yet putting their Jewish peers' lives at risk. Here's one Jewish voter telling Fox News the following, cut number two.
Kamala is the one who said she sympathizes with the human emotion of these protesters. What are you sympathizing with, terrorism? Joe Biden, I mean, where is he? Has he made a speech about anything? I mean, an American just got shot in the head. Where is everyone? Where's the accountability? I just don't get it anymore. And you know what? I might be going off the lamb here. If you're Jewish and you vote for Democrats, you're crazy. I'm sorry. You're insane.
AP out with a story today. Student activists across the country say they will continue on with these protests. And why wouldn't they when they're hearing that messaging coming from Kamala?
Well, exactly. And they're getting paid to protest, for example, and by Middle Eastern countries as well as the Soros clan. So there are a lot of money flowing through these universities. And what these students don't understand is they don't really understand what they're protesting. If we could fly them all over there and live with them for a day, I guarantee you they're going to change their tune. Because I have been over there. I've been at war in the Middle East for three different combat tours. I completely understand the mentality over there.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you. I mean, I was a student just a couple years ago. I'm not that much older than these people. We don't negotiate with terrorist colonel. We shouldn't negotiate with these terrorist sympathizers, is how I see it. I think we get to the table and we have these negotiations with these students. The students went to universities to divest from these kids have no idea what they're talking about. This is called Selma envy. They want to feel like they're part of something and that at the end of the day, they're a victim, and they're not. Frankly, you live in America, the greatest country in the world.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if we turn the tables around, if this was happening in America, do you think for one moment our military would not be wiping out Hamas,
right?
Would not be neutralizing? I mean, come on, let's get real here. We're just playing politics with people's lives. And in war, you know, it's a continuation of politics. I understand that. And we learned that in the Army War College. But at one point, Netanyahu is exactly right. He's in a rock and a hard place because he's got people protesting. But let's face it, even Jews and Israelis don't always agree with each other on what they should be doing. But I think Netanyahu has got the anvil in his hands. He knows what he's doing. He should be allowed to continue to finish his job, or they're going to, like I said, they're going to be back to October 7th. I guarantee it.
Colonel David Giammano on the on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Now, Colonel, I am curious with your background and how many years you served as a patriot of this country, serving to protect us. With this controversy, and I'm not exactly sure why it is a controversy, if I'm being completely honest, I think the real controversy with the Arlington trip by President Trump is the fact that the families are saying that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and President Biden were invited to honor their loved ones that were killed overseas in that botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, but yet it's President Trump that is now in the crux of the crossfire of the media. Do veterans across this country, those that serve and continue to serve this country, do they see through the media's lies on this?
I hope they do. And if they're listening to me, having 32 years served in the Army, Army War College, rank of colonel, and all the other stuff that goes with it, look, if you're not seeing what's going on there, then you've got to be blind. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what the message they're sending to our vets. Trump understands that. He's been there. He's with them in Arlington. He did the right thing. And we all know that the majority of the media doesn't like Trump, doesn't want to get him elected, yet Trump continues to do the right thing and fight for our country. And when he is elected, turn the military around as well as everything else. And I really believe the wars that are happening right now across the world would not be happening if Trump was in the office currently.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the fact that this is not what's being called out in the media right now and why it's not being played on loop by the NBC Kristen Walkers of the world is, again, the dereliction of the media, which no one's shocked by, but is a shame. And I think why people are cutting their cables. Take a listen. This is Kamala Harris on her role. How she played a key pivotal role in this Afghanistan withdrawal. And this was her on the record. Take a listen.
President Biden always said that he wants you to be the last person in the room, particularly for big decisions, just as he was for President Obama. He just made a really big decision. Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do. And I'm going to add to that. This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage.
Well, clearly not enough courage to sit down with these family members. Unbelievable, Colonel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Afghanistan withdrawal was a total debacle. And we had soldiers killed that weren't necessarily needed to be killed. And so we have the whole thing. I believe the lowest ranking person in the Army could have done a better job in withdrawing our forces than the current administration did, and they don't want to acknowledge. If she was the last person in that room, then she should be ashamed of herself because of all the things that happened in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree with you. David Giamona, thank you for joining the show and working with what has been a busy news cycle as we're working through this developing news. Appreciate you joining the show and dropping those truth bombs.
Hey, thank you, sir. God bless.
All right, good stuff. All right, President Joe Biden releasing a statement. I do want to give you what the president has said, turning this political. Quote, what should have been a joyous back-to-school season in Winder, Georgia, has now turned into another horrific reminder of how gun violence continues to tear our communities apart. The president goes on to say students across the country are learning how to duck and how to cover instead of how to read and how to write. We cannot continue to accept this as normal. So as predicted, as we joined you guys at the top of the third hour, Democrats immediately seizing on this. We can expect a speech from Kamala Harris within the next couple of minutes, expected to address this shooting as well. Yes, they say they are mourning these deaths, but they are also campaigning off these deaths, and I find that absolutely despicable. More information on this story coming out of Winder, Georgia, ToddStarnes.com. Read the story. Tell your friends. That's where that information is going to be as we go into the rest of the afternoon. We'll be right back.
A lot of the English owned the coal mines, and what they did was they'd really beat the hell out of the mostly Catholic population that was in the mines. Not a joke. But there was a group that called the Molly Maguires, and the Molly Maguires, if they find out the foreman who was taking advantage of an individual, and they'd literally kill him. Not a joke. And they'd bring his body up and put him on the doorstep of his family. Kind of crude, but I got to admit, they accused my great-grandfather of being a Molly. He wasn't, but we were so damn disappointed.
Who allowed that 81-year-old out of the nursing home? Send him back. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter here filling in for my boss, Todd. Todd is getting back to the Mid-South tonight, and he will join you guys live on Friday. In the meantime, Congressman Tim Burchett is going to be filling in. Congressman from Tennessee, you're not going to want to miss tomorrow's broadcast. So there's a report that Kamala Harris is supposed to cut all ties with President Biden. And after you heard those rambling remarks from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania over the weekend, who can blame her? Let's go to John. My call screener says Pastor John. Pastor, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Deets, how you doing?
Can't complain.
Here's a lot of things people fail to realize. You're talking about veterans. I know you're short on time.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people feel forgot. Despite all those fallacies about President Trump disparaging the veterans, a lot of people forgot that there was a direct line to the White House set up by President Trump, from what I read. So if veterans did have complaints and they didn't get any satisfaction from the VA or any other organization, they could pick up the phone and call the president, not the president, but have a contact to the White House. Now, I don't know what Joe Biden did with it. I heard he cut the line. Maybe I'm wrong. But that was set up by the president. A lot of people don't realize that, and I'm getting so dang sick and tired of people disparaging this president for and all the good he did for our men and women in uniform and those that served. And it's particularly disturbing when you hear somebody like James McCain saying that President Trump didn't have a right to beat Arlington, when his own dad filmed a commercial at Arlington.
Yeah.
So I just think a lot of veterans do not fail to realize that they've forgotten by now, or maybe when you get President Trump on the line again. I really think it's important because you guys really listen to us too and give yourself and Lydia a raise. but I think that should be mentioned. I really, truly mean that.
Well, John,
and, you know, people, I just wanted to say that. God bless you. I love you guys so much.
We love you right back. And I will cut your audio when I go ask for my promotion. You better believe Pastor John is going to be saying, give Ben, give Lydia, give Dylan pay raises. How about that? When Todd gets back from Memphis International Airport and I'm picking him up, I'm going to say, Todd, you allowed us to take over your radio station. This is all being manned by Lydia is 26. I am 26. Dylan is 25. Grace is 26. And we're all coming for Todd's piggy bank. Pastor John said, give us a pay raise. No, but John's right. Imagine if President Trump had told the Whopper that President Biden did on that debate stage. Let's not you forget. What did he say? Under my administration, we didn't lose one service member. The utter disrespect for our military. I hope they vote with that in mind in November. All right, gonna leave it there. ToddStarnes.com. Check out the latest on Todd's website, the shooting down in Georgia, ToddStarnes.com. Guys, take care.